Me in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah. That'll be the title of our lesson this morning. By faith, Noah. Being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The Hebrew brethren, those believers who were natural descendants of Abraham, true sons or sons of Abraham by natural genealogy, who had been saved by God's grace, they were receiving pressure from all sides to stop trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, to turn from faith in Christ back to the law that was given under the Mosaic Covenant, to the observance of days and months and years. And throughout this letter, we're encouraged along with them by seeing God's faithfulness towards those who put their trust in Him alone. I want to show you three things this morning about some of the things we see here in this verse. First of all, how faith comes to the believer. Secondly, fruit of true faith. And thirdly, faith's reward. How faith comes to the believer, fruit of true faith, and faith's reward. Now we're told here in this verse that by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Over in Genesis 6, if you'll turn over there with me, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now that was the case with Noah himself, outside of the Lord's mercy and grace, just as it was of everyone there. But verse 8 tells us, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now look down at verse 13. And God said unto Noah, we're told he warned Noah. Now here's what he said. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. For sake of time, look down at verse 17. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. How does faith come? What are we told in Scripture? How faith comes. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Noah was warned of God, we're told. God came to Noah and warned him. And that is illustrated throughout the 11th chapter of Hebrews. There in verse 8, it says, Abraham was called of God. Verse 11, it says, Sarah. And if you look down at the last phrase there, it says, she judged him faithful who had promised. Why is that important to note? Well, we're expressly told throughout the Hebrew letter that God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one by whom God has spoken unto us. And it's impossible to believe God without hearing Him, speak in the heart, through the preaching of His Word, through the reading of His Word. He's the sum and substance of all God's Word, of everything God has to say to you and I. That's the truth, and this truth's emphasized throughout the letter here for good reason. The Judaizers were attempting to turn the brethren from Christ, the Word, back to the prophets. Not because they heard Christ by the mouth of the prophets, and as believers in that their day did, but merely out of a historical vain tradition, because this was their people. This was their tradition. And so the Hebrew letter begins by teaching us that God's Son is the Word in whom God's spoken. Back there when we first started this lesson, in Hebrews 1:1, it said, God spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but He's now spoken to us by His Son. This letter begins, the first note that sounded in this Hebrew letter is, this is my Son, hear ye Him. Don't turn back from Him, hear Him. And then the Pharisees also would attempt to have them turn back to the ceremonies, to the law, to the old covenant, and all of those things, and to prove that Christ, the Lord, was preeminently better than the law. The law spoke of Him and pointed to Him and is fulfilled in Him. It came from Him, has its glory in Him. And to show that, we're told all through the first chapter that He's better than the angels, because that's how God gave it to Moses at the hand of angels. And so they're saying, the scriptures is telling us He's even higher than the angels. If He's higher than the angels who gave the law, He must be the one who gave that law. And then chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. If that word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how are we going to escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God Himself also bearing witness with signs and wonders? No sinner can believe without hearing Christ Jesus the Lord. That's the theme of this book. He's the one we got to hear. He's the one we got to come through. And we got to hear Him. We got to hear Him preach. We got to hear what God says about Him in His Word. There's no salvation apart from God's Son. No salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the reason this Word exists. He's the one whom every word glorifies. He's the one in whom all the promises of God are yea and amen. There's no doubt about it. They're yes and amen in Him. I was reading this week, Horatius Bonar wrote this, and he said, when I hear it said that such and such do not believe the doctrines of sovereign grace and substitution, but they love the Lord and are saved, he said, I wonder and I ask, what then was the Bible written for? Is it not in the infallible expression of the mind of God? Is it not the standard of truth? Are we to believe what appeals to us and deny the rest? God forbid. God's word declares the oneness of truth and condemns every departure from the truth as a direct attack on God Himself. He says, do not tell me that a man's heart is right with God when his head contains a creed of error and denies the person and work of the Redeemer. But this word of God is concerning things not seen yet. You see that there? What did verse 1 teach us of Hebrews 11? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Have you ever had the thought that if you could hear God speak in some way, in some different manner than He speaks to us now, if you could hear Him speak like some of the Old Testament saints heard Him speak in some miraculous way, have you ever had the thought that if you heard Him speak that way, you'd believe Him? I might come more apt to believe if I heard Him speak that way. Noah had never seen God destroy all the flesh on earth. He never seen God destroy man and wipe him off the face of the earth. But he believed God would do it. We've never seen God's judgment that He tells us is coming. But by faith we believe it's coming. It's coming. Noah had never seen rain before. It never rained on the earth. at that time. And Noah received this warning from God, and he had no idea what a flood even looked like. He couldn't imagine what this ark looked like. He had the pattern of it. God gave him the pattern of it, told him how to build it. And he could see it in his mind's eye, but he hadn't seen it. Noah had no idea how he was going to be saved in that ark. This thing's 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. How am I going to shut the door on this thing? How am I going to get in there and close the door? But he believed God. He believed God, and God told him what he needed to know. God told him exactly what he needed to know. And he believed God. And that's what the believer does. We have what God tells us, and we believe what God tells us. And what God don't tell us, I just believe God will take care of it. He'll take care of it. I trust Him. He said, with thee I'll establish my covenant. When we behold our just due and those whom God destroys in wrath, but we find grace in the eyes of God, when covenant grace says, thou shalt come into the ark, that's what causes a man to believe God. Causes him to believe God. And it's not the manner in which God speaks. Faith comes because it's the speaking of, it's God speaking the revelation of His Son in the heart. That's what it is. It's God speaking the revelation of His Son in our heart. Now let's look here secondly. It says Noah believed God. So let's see what the fruits of this faith are. Noah believed God prior to this. But Noah not only professed to believe God, but he diligently sought God. Diligently seeking God is never moving away from trusting Him alone, from trusting His Son alone, from trusting His salvation alone. And that's the reason for this whole letter. This whole Hebrew letter is to teach us there's nothing better than Christ. Not the prophets, not the angels, not Moses, not Joshua, not a Sabbath day, or a temporal land such as Canaan, or an earthly priest, or our sacrifices, or ceremonies, no tabernacle, no offering, no satisfaction with God, no sanctification with God. Christ is all. He's everything. And Noah, this wasn't a zeal without knowledge. We'll see this here. This was a true understanding of God and what true faith really is and what it really does. But look here, I want you to see something. I want you to notice these action verbs here in this verse. By faith, Noah moved with fear. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. By faith, Noah saved his house. By faith, Noah condemned the world. Fruit grows, doesn't it? You ever seen fruit on a fruit tree or in a vegetable garden? When that tomato comes out on a tomato plant, it's small, but it grows, doesn't it? It grows. Living things live and they move and they grow. Noah moved with fear. Godly fear has to do with understanding God's holy, and He requires perfect righteousness. It has something to do with understanding the power of God to save and to destroy. And it has to do with understanding that He's God. He's God, and I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I can't question Him. And because of a fear of God, Noah couldn't join himself to those unbelievers around him. He couldn't go back and join himself with them. These folks were idolaters, self-righteous people, adulterers. They were immoral people. And he couldn't leave and go and join in with these legalists or these lawless people. He couldn't do it because he believed God. He couldn't do it any more than light can join itself with darkness, or an unbeliever can join himself with a believer. It just couldn't be done. There's no fear of God before the eyes of an unbeliever. He doesn't fear God. He can go anywhere and take up with anybody, and they're all buddies. But a believer can't do that. He's moved with fear. And Noah, having the promises of God, having these precious promises of God, of exactly what was going to take place, he moved with fear. He was shown great grace, and he moved with fear. And he laid aside anything he might have thought, anything that these people might have said to him, anything, any outside influence that would have come between him and God. He laid all of that aside and wouldn't look to it at all. When a believer has been made perfectly holy in Christ. Listen, when a believer's been made perfectly holy in Christ, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. When a believer's been made perfectly holy in Christ, having received the promises of God, sanctified by him who sanctifieth, brought into union with Christ through faith, our separation from this world and our union with Christ, our holiness, is in the fear of him. That is what it, that is the fear of God in the new nature. Look here at verse 1. Having therefore these promises. You can go back in chapter 6 and read all the promises there of God. Same kind of promises he made to Abraham. I mean to Noah. The promises were, I'm going to destroy all this flesh, but I'm going to put you in the ark, Noah. I made a covenant with you. I'm not going to destroy you. And because God had spoken to him in the heart, and because Noah believed God and moved with fear, he couldn't go back and join himself with those folks. And it says here, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The perfection of holiness in you and I is growing in understanding that going back to the filthiness of our flesh, going back to those things, is not, that's not believing on God. That's not holiness. Perfecting holiness is looking steadfastly on him who is our holiness. And that only comes about, the phrase I want you to see here, brethren, is it's in the fear of God. There's no other way. It's in godly reverence, godly awe, to be in amazement at him. That's the only motivation a believer has. By faith, it says there in our text that Noah prepared the ark as God commanded. He prepared the ark just like God commanded him to. Christ, you know, is a type of the ark, a beautiful picture of the ark. And to understand the fruit of this faith here, I think we have to understand and look at just exactly how boldly and beautifully Christ is a picture of the ark. Because God coming to Noah and telling Noah about this ark, that God already told, God didn't ask Noah for anything. God didn't suggest anything. He told Noah exactly what this ark was going to look like, exactly what the dimensions of it were going to be. And it's a we see a figure there of God providing his son before man knew anything about it, that this is how I'm going to save in him. And then he comes, and he told the size of this ark, teaching us something of our holy Redeemer, of Christ our Lord, our ark. The magnitude of his person, the holiness of his person, and the vast, the encompassing height and width and depth and length of the salvation that he accomplished. God shut Noah up in that ark. He came to him, and when he told Noah, Noah, you're going in that ark. I've made a covenant with you. I'm going to destroy this world, but I'm putting you in that ark. And it says Noah believed God. Noah, as far as God's concerned, Noah's in that ark already. God's not going to let Noah not get in that ark. He's going to be in that ark before that flood comes. God put a people in the ark. Just like he came and said, Noah, this is my covenant with you. It's my covenant with you. Thou shalt go into the ark. And inside the ark, that was the place. That was the refuge for Noah. That was the place where Noah and his family and those animals, clean and unclean, Jew and Gentile, bond or free, male or female, all the family of God is saved. One place, and that's in the ark, in Christ Jesus the Lord. And then that ark, God shut him in that ark, closed the door. And that ark was covered in pitch within and without. No rain, no floodwaters could get in there to them at all. Because that pitch kept it out. That pitch has something to do with the justification and the righteousness, the atonement of Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of His blood, because of what He accomplished, God's wrath can't get into us. It can't get in. His justice won't be brought up before us, because when that rain came down on that ark and the floodwaters broke from underneath, that ark was baptized, as it were, engulfed, encompassed in the flood. Just as Christ, when he hung on that cross, was encompassed, baptized in the wrath and justice of God, totally immersed in it. But in Christ, because he put a people in Christ, when that flood subsided, you know where that ark was when that flood went away? That ark was on the top of a high, high mountain. You know where God's people ended up after Christ withstood all of the wrath and justice of God and was raised again? You know where he ended up and where you ended up? In the highest mountain of all, in Mount Zion. That's where we ended up, in the ark. Now let's look at what Noah believed God. This is what Noah believed. I don't know if Noah saw that ark like we just looked at it, but I know this. Noah trusted the Lord the same way we look at that ark and say we trust Christ. He trusted the Lord the same way. He trusted Him the same way. And faith is not slothful. Faith is not lazy. You know what Noah did as soon as the Lord told him to prepare that ark? He went to preparing it. He proved he believed God. He went to preparing that ark. If you believe God, don't sit around waiting for the flood to come. Don't sit around waiting for God to come back again the second time and for Him to pour out His justice. It's too late then. When the flood started coming, the ark was, they were in the ark then. And faith is not a one-time or a part-time or a sometime deal. Faith is a lifetime. You know how long Noah was building that ark? 120 years building that ark. Do you think in that 120 years, you reckon anybody came up to him and looked at him and looked at that ark and said, Noah, you know, I think what I'd do if I was you is I'd add a room out here on the side of it. No, that's not what the Lord said. I'm not going that route. Well, you know what you could do, Noah, if you really want to be through with that, quit wasting your time on it, you come over here and join us. Just, you don't have to make it near as big as you planned on making it. He didn't add to it. He didn't take away from it. Faith doesn't add to Christ or take away from Christ. Faith doesn't hear scoffers that say, oh, why do you keep building that ark? It has never rained. How's this thing even supposed to work? How is it? We never even seen anything look quite like this before. How's this thing going to float? And Noah just kept right on. He just kept right on building it because he trusted God. That's what faith does. Faith doesn't stop. It may be weak. It may be stumbling. May be slow at times. But it's always headed in the same direction. Always looking to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Just as Noah, always continuing on. And it can't be turned off by scoffers. Faith doesn't draw back. It doesn't draw back. They couldn't get him to go back. He was committed. to what he was doing. You know, it was a little short time here that the Hebrews brethren had started believing the Lord, had trusted the Lord. And already in the early church, we see folks trying to turn them back, turn them away. But the Hebrew writer saying, look at Noah. Look at Noah. Look at the promise Noah had from God. He believed God. He didn't see these things either. But he believed God and he kept going. And the Hebrew writer's telling you and I the same thing. We're not of them that draw back unto perdition to be destroyed in the flood. True faith's like Noah's faith. It continues. And you know what happened? The more Noah continued in that faith, continued trusting God, every season, little by little, he had more reason to trust the Lord alone. When I was younger, I was about, I think, 13 or 14. Me and some friends decided that we'd build a log cabin. And so we went out and cleared some land. And that part was just, we didn't know if we'd keep going because it just wasn't any fun. We had to go out there and clear us out a spot, you know. And that was hard work, briars and all kinds of little saplings and things we had to get out, cleared out, you know. Well, then we got out there and took our saws and all our little hand saws with us and all that, you know. And we cut down some pretty good trees for a bunch of 13, 14-year-olds. I mean, they was a nice tree. And the cabin was going to be 15 feet wide and 20 feet long. And we about given up on it, but we started cutting those trees. And we started seeing them big trees fall. Boy, it just kind of revived us, you know. We got to working a little harder, a little faster, a little more confident. We might get this thing built. And then we came back, you know, day after day, week after week, and we got that first round of logs in place, you know. Got it up about 3 logs high. That thing began to take shape a little bit more, you know. We began to think, we're going to do this. We're going to build this thing. And boy, by the end, we were tired. We were worn out. I don't know how many months we worked on this thing. We were tired, just tired. But, man, we got the roof on it, got it in the dry, and we had them logs built up. Now all we had to do was pitch it. We took just clay mud and pine straw and water, mixed it all up together, and we just splattered it in between those logs, you know. But that part of the job just went by like that because we was at the end, and we just couldn't wait to get inside it and enjoy it. Well, every day that Noah sat out there and worked on that ark, it just came a little more, took shape a little more and a little more to it. And he saw it a little more and a little more. And that's what a believer does in faith. You start out weak, a little more. You hear of it. Hear a line, there a line. Hear a little, there a little. And you begin to see him more and more. And you begin to realize, he is my salvation. He's my salvation. That's what faith is. It's continuing in him. And by faith, Noah saved his household. Noah was the instrument God used to save his household. His 3 sons and their wives all went in there together. And the Lord shut them up in there in that ark. We continue in Christ by faith. Trusting him, talking to our children about him, praying to the Lord that he'll save them. And by God's grace, that's how he's going to save his whole household. It's through this gospel, through using sinners like you and me that believe him and trust him. And by faith, Noah condemned the world, it says, ungodly men around him. They couldn't say anything against him. He wasn't doing anything to provoke them. He wasn't doing anything to join in with sin with them. This old fellow out there just keeps on plugging away, working on that boat. And he preached the gospel to them. Kept preaching the gospel to them. Anytime somebody come up and talk to him about it, he'd tell them everything he knew. And one day, Noah's going to rise in judgment, just like the children of Nineveh rise up in judgment. Because when they heard Jonah preach the gospel, they repented. They turned and believed him. And these folks that were left that didn't believe him, one day they'll be brought into judgment. Noah will be brought forth to testify, to be a witness. I told them everything you told me to tell them. And they'd be condemned. Well, Genesis back there, I'll just tell you this. Genesis 6:22, it said, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." We saw there in verse 6 of chapter 11, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What's the reward? That's my third point. What's the reward? What's the reward God gives to the believer? Look at verse 7. Look there at the very end. By faith Noah became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That perfect obedience of Christ which God imputes unto all who believe on his Son. God's righteousness is called an inheritance because it's by the will of the Father. It's called an inheritance because it's to his children. It's called an inheritance because it's free. It's absolutely free. And God put Noah in Christ and he closed the door. And Christ bore the reign of justice. And when the wrath ceased, Noah rested in the ark on top of the highest mountain. Week in and week out, I'm delivering God's warning to you. And every time I stand here, I make it my one purpose to set forth the ark, Christ our salvation. And I keep hammering away, just like Noah did when he was out, literally out there building. I'm just plugging away. Your parents plugging away. Just precept upon precept, line upon line. Will you be slothful like the rest of those folks that were sitting around Moses, around Noah? Will you be turned back? I can't think of anything sadder than for my children to die and meet me in judgment. And God to bring me before him having never told them the truth. Will you stand with Christ against this evil world, or will Christ and his children rise up in judgment against you? Are you God's son, God's daughter, his heir, joint heirs with Christ the Lord? A flood's coming. A flood's coming. It may not be 120 years. I don't know when it is. And if I could scare you with it into Christ, I'd scare you with it into him. But I pray God come to you and speak his word. Give you a heart to believe him and shut you up in that ark. And you be found resting in him for all eternity through faith. That's my prayer. That's my prayer. It's not just something we do coming here each week. There's some meaning to it. There's reason we come here. And it's because of the ark. Because the ark. We believe what God's told us. Really believe him. It's the evidence of things that not yet seen. We believe him by faith. And I pray. Oh, I pray for you. When that water and that flood is over, it's all subsided and it's all gone away, that you be there in the ark in Mount Zion. On top, not Mount Ararat, but on top of Mount Zion with him forever. All right.